This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, my name is Alex Horn, and this is the Horn Section podcast with me, Alex Horn, and these guys, the Horn Section. It's a really excellent podcast with music from five fine men, plus some very special guests.
You going before your mum?
I mean, realistically, yes. The woman's strong as an ox.
So, subscribe to the Horn Section podcast right now on Acast, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Goodbye.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye oh but Rob's. It's me, Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing, brah?
Loving life. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here in Los Angeles, and I actually went out into the world. Isn't that crazy? Because I picked up my masks, my brand new Crappens masks. They finally arrived, and so I went to the UPS store where we have our mailbox, and now I have my be masked, don't be all unmasked mask.
Well, if you want yours, go to crappensmerch.com. You'll find a bunch of masks. God, it's hard being a gay person sometimes.
Masks.
You can find all your masks over there. And today is the beginning of Real Housewives of Potomac Season 5. So we're really excited to be back covering this crazy show. Listen to our other projects if you need some more content in these pandemic times. Ben does the Game Brain podcast, and he also does a cartoon called The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, and I do another podcast called Rose Pricks, which is all Bachelor stuff. We're in full swing this season, so go check that out. Oh, go ahead.
Yes, I am on this week's episode of Game Brain. It just came out today because it's like a rotating panel of people. So if you have not had enough of my monologues here on this podcast, there's more monologues by me on the Game Brain podcast. And also another thing that we did over the weekend is we rejiggered our Discord channel. You may not realize it, but we have a Discord channel that's available to our Patreon supporters. I went in and I cleaned it up because I originally had put in a bunch of different, like, I should say Discord server. There were all these channels for this and that, whatever, and all the conversation was fragmented. So I cleaned out a bunch of the channels, and now it's all streamlined, and it's kind of like being in a giant group text with all your fellow Bravo-loving friends. So it's been really cool. It's already come back to life in a really fun way. So if you are on Patreon and you support on the Discord tier or above, you have access to that Discord server, and all the details are on Patreon.
And we're going to give some shout outs to some small businesses today before we get going. My tongue is very lazy today.
It's August. It's an August tongue.
I have a very fat tongue anyway, but it sounds like I'm drunk today. I'm not drunk. I'm completely sober. Just have a fat tongue, okay?
I have a chubby pussy. What can I say?
It's my pandemic tongue, okay? Even my tongue is gaining. My feet have gained weight. My tongue has gained weight. Every part of me. Even my ears are bigger. So that's where I'm at. Okay, let's do some small business shout outs. I'm going to start with black owned business from Nandi. Nandi has a family friend that makes her own candles called Avowal Candles, and her name is Chastity. And you can find them at avowalcandle.com. That's AVOW, avow, like, you know, the word avowal candle. AVOWAL candle.com. Okay, Avowal Candle Company is creating luxurious scented, naturally derived, and eco-friendly candles with customized affirmations to support you in your journey. Okay,
sounds great. I love that. I love a candle that will take me on my journey. Okay, I've got one from Tara, who just started a new blog called The Betchy Broad, the Betchy as in B-E-T-C-H-Y, broad. And she says this is a passion project she's been wanting to do for some time. And because of the pandemic, I mean, hey, what better time? So it's a lifestyle and pop culture shit talk blog that's meant to be fun and entertaining. And she's going to talk about pop culture and current affairs, her opinions on reality TV and music, et cetera, health and wellness, weekly obsession page. She's doing it all, guys. She's doing it all. But she also wants it to be very interactive. It's not only about her and her opinions. She wants user-submitted content, too. She wants to create a community. And she says, hopefully, this Betchy Broad community will be like the ones that we have done so well with our Watch Our Crappens community. Aw, thanks. Anyway, go check out Betchy Broad at thebetchybroad.com or on Instagram at thebetchybroad. Great name. Go follow Tara.
Do it. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Real Housewives of Potomac. My favorite Housewives interstitial music of any.
Yeah.
Housewives.
Great. Great. Best interstitial music, best interstitial wildlife, best interstitial, I don't know if there's a third thing, but we'll find it over the course of the season. There's probably something. Best cherry blossoms.
I love a reoccurring dough. Okay. I love it. This dough has made it into five seasons. Love it.
Yeah.
So cute. Yeah. We got a shot of it today. Little scared little deer dough. Dough a deer, female deer, or maybe it's a deer.
I also like a reoccurring dough. I just like going into my kitchen. There's another, the dough is back.
I love reoccurring dough as well. Yes. speaking of my fat tongue, let's just talk about my fat tongue this whole time. It's the reoccurring dough, okay, from Instacart.
Oh, reoccurring dough.
I've discovered that you can just order pizza dough at the grocery store instead of actually make it and wait all fucking day. And it's amazing. Whatever chemicals they use in grocery store pizza dough, thank you. Thank you to the chemical makers, because that shit's amazing.
Thank you, grocery store dough. Thank you, chemical makers. Thank you. Thank you
for my fat tongue. Okay.
I read an interesting article last night. Apparently, Giselle... Two interesting articles, actually. One is interesting, funny, and one is interesting, So the interesting, funny one is that Giselle was pushing for a long time for the women of Potomac to hold up crabs in the opening credits, which I think is hilarious if they were all holding up some Chesapeake Bay crabs. Just like,
well, of course, the one who was married to the guy who's cheating all the time wants to normalize crabs. Okay, listen.
Yeah. Giselle. It's a very good point. Now, the other thing, one of our listeners brought this to our attention. Maybe it's already been brought to our attention, but somehow, like... we didn't care as much because they were divorced. But now that Giselle and Jamal are back together, we should note that he had some really bad homophobic rants in 2012 where he talked about homosexuality being a sin and yada, 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 which is funny because last time I checked, you were the one who was cheating on your wife, Mr. Sin. Yeah, okay, syntax error. Okay, yeah. So that's bad. And all the women should be pissed off about that. And everyone should be pissed. And I'm hoping that this guy it's been 8 years. And a lot of people around the country have updated and evolved their views on homosexuality. And I am saying the testicle is in your court, Mr. Jamal. And please evolve as well and update your views. Thank you.
Update your views. I'm sorry that your views need some updating. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Cheater, who is accusing us of sinning. I've never cheated in my life. And if sinning means that I get iced coffee every single day, then yes, I am a sinner. But you know what, sir? Don't throw crabs in a glass house.
Yeah, and while we're throwing crabs, Jamal. Now, first of all, look, I'm no stranger to preachers saying that homosexuality is a sin. I grew up a very devout Christian. Okay, I know you guys can tell I'm a very devout. I'm not really devout, but that's how I grew up. And of course, I'm no stranger to hearing that. And I'm also no stranger to preachers being big fat sinners. And the way this was always explained to me was, you know, you don't hate the sinner, you hate the sin. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. In this case, I hate the sinner too. Fuck that guy. Fuck you, Giselle, for getting back together with that guy. Wouldn't you show showing your children. Thank God for your children for being so strong and basically telling you what I just told you.
Smartest people on Bravo are those kids.
And also, fuck you for taking Phaedra's sloppy thirds, because Mr. Chocolate was supposedly Phaedra's sloppy... I guess Phaedra had him sloppy seconds, or thirds, or fourths, or fifths, knowing with this guy. And now you're taking him back? I mean, come on. Gross. Gross, Giselle.
It is gross.
I don't love Giselle, okay? I've really grown to like Giselle a lot more as the years have gone on. And I think she's an excellent housewife, that's for sure. She gets A's straight across the board for that. Don't always love her, but this is really gross, Giselle. I expected more from you.
Yeah, I'm leaving the door open for, I would like a statement. I would like him to say, listen, that's what I thought in 2012, but since then I've come to realize X, Y, and Z. Because I'm open to that. I'm like the sort of person that's open to that stuff. So I'm not ramping up a full campaign just yet. But it was brought to our attention, and I do think that's, you know, sir, you are now on Bravo, and you are going to be profiting off of Bravo, and the exposure you're going to be getting from Bravo will probably mean that you'll get a rise in either social media or in your congregation or whatever. So you are going to be profiting off that. So you better like stop calling us sinners. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
You heard it here first. Stop it.
Well, speaking of sinning, this episode is called Old Testaments, New Revelations. So it's a very biblical title for our first episode back in. And I guess that's why we open with glass broken on the ground and horror sounds like this.
Yeah. And then, like, Inception music. Womp. Womp. Womp.
In a world. Where Leo
we see Main Street
and walk on ceilings.
We see Oz restaurant upside down.
A little kid falls out of the kangaroo pouch.
So we see this Inception music, and then there's like broken glass, and then a first aid kit, and then like
and a cauliflower. I love that they had a close up on a cauliflower on the ground.
Just because we got crudité doesn't mean we have to be crude. So
that
and then
was
we see
crudité.
crudité. So then we have like this ghostly, this very eerie overhead shot of the trees of Potomac, like somewhere in this town, an evil presence lurks. And then it's like Potomac, Maryland. It's like, yeah, we kind of figured when we tuned into Real Housewives of Potomac, we're in Potomac, Maryland. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Hills, horror music, a freeway. And Karen's house.
Karen's new house. Karen's new McMansion, built in 1984 with a nice brick facade. The scariest place you've ever seen.
I know, Karen's new house is like a really old, really kind of old, like the standard house. Little
generic.
Boxes
like a very
on the hillside. Yeah, generic.
We cut to Karen. She's just standing in front of her tube TV with her hands on it. Ray, they're here.
And then we hear her going, we never thought as black women we would be here, but here we are. And I'm like, is this about the cauliflower? I love that everything going on in the world, this deep statement on Real Housewives of Potomac is about a cauliflower on the floor.
There's a ghost in the closet and stole Katie. We have to get her out of there.
Oh, God. 7 weeks earlier. The cauliflower was just a little baby in the ground.
The cauliflower had a booming future in a giant plastic tray at a local supermarket. Life seemed to be great for it.
And then, boosh, the fun music comes on, and we're at Monique's house, and she's playing with her new little baby. Whoa.
Yeah. She has a little baby, and she also has a bird named T'Challa. Which looked like it was a cockatiel of some sort. I don't remember exactly. Was it a cockatiel? Cockatoo?
I don't know birds. Birds don't like me.
Well, she got a new bird named T'Challa, you know, Black Panther. And Chris is there. And Chris is holding their baby Chase, who is like, you know, Chris is just so huge, holding this little baby, and he's like,
"The bird didn't have small poops. Those were like big bird poops. Ha, 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 ha."
That bird has very large poops. Hi.
Hi. Yeah. I just saw Jurassic Park again this weekend, and even those dinosaurs would look in your toilet and be like, damn.
Who do you think has large poops? I love you telling the bird.
I know. He's threatened by the bird, I think.
Yeah.
So he's like,
"Chase loves football. Down, set, hot."
I just feel like every table in that house is just like vibrating, like with every syllable.
That's where they got the sound effect from the beginning of the show. That's what it sounds like inside the fish tank in the kitchen.
That's basically, those poor fish think there's a predator coming at all times. That's what happened to cauliflower. It just was like a whole cauliflower. And he's like, "Cauliflower!" And the vibrations just like cause it to like split apart.
Yeah, do that away from the mic. Because man,
I was doing it away from the mic. Are you still? Was it still getting blown
it
out?
It vibrates. Yeah, it vibrates me.
Oh, sorry, everyone.
To my core.
Well, it may also be an issue because Skype sometimes. No, Skype wasn't doing it. Skype sometimes like amps up my volume. I apologize, everyone. Oh, you know why? My microphone is set on high. I'm so sorry. I was probably blowing out the audio for the whole first 45 minutes of this episode.
She's like, "Well, that's his morning poops because he holds it in all night." So that's how we open Potomac, talking about poop.
Yeah, perfect.
And Chris is playing with the baby, and she's like, "You know, I'm always being pulled left and right. I'm just trying to balance myself. So I got an animal." What everybody with too many kids needs. One more fucking thing to take care of.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, since when have you loved all animals? This is like a new thing. And second of all, who needs a like famously fussy animal that has oversized shits to like to relieve the stress? I don't get that. By the way, she's like, "I just need a bird, you know what, like, he's a stress reliever for me." I'm like, you have an aquarium in your kitchen. You have an enormous aquarium that rivals the Baltimore Aquarium right there, and you're still not relaxed? The bird isn't going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think birds are big stress relievers. They'll fuck with you, birds. You know,
I've gone
off about the gackles. Those things will get you.
That is the worst.
So anyway, she brags about how her bird is smarter than most people's bird. Basically, it's like a child. You know, you think your bird is the best bird. And she has the little leash for it because she's going to go over to Karen's house. And she's like, "T'Challa, we're going to meet Miss Karen. Now, that's the only bitch I trust, so please don't snatch her wig."
and then she's like, "T'Challa, calm down. He's being so extra. He is a bird. Birds are literally born to be extra. They're the most extra animals on the planet, perhaps."
Yeah. You got a bird named T'Challa, okay?
He's very principled.
So anyway, she's excited. She doesn't have to drive 45 minutes anymore to see Karen. And we learn that Karen has not learned her lesson with the ring, the ring cam, which didn't really work for her last time when they tried to deliver pizza to her fake house. It apparently did not alert Karen that they were there. So you know what? I would check into a different brand of ring cam. Okay.
Yeah. Seriously, because Karen opens the door and then she's like, "Oh, what the hell? What is that? Security, security."
And she tells her, "Are you bringing that in?" And Monique's like, "Well, I do have a cage for it." She's like, "Get the cage. You brought the bird and not the damn baby. What the H-E double hoggy sticks is going on here?"
Father God in heaven. Next time, please fax me what you'll be bringing over to my house so I can be adequately prepared.
Now, Karen always does the lip pursing thing while she's talking, where she's rubbing the back, she's rubbing the front of her teeth with the back of her lips. Mm-hmm. She's always done that, but she now looks like she's just eating little baby pieces of popcorn the whole time she's talking. She's like,
"Get the cage. Get the cage.
Get the cage. Get the cage. A little kernel up there. A little kernel up there in my teeth. The cage for the kernel, please. We'll switch over to cauliflower from this popcorn."
Bwah.
Bwah. Not the cauliflower. So Karen's like, honey, the Grand Dame is back in Potomac. Brand new stoop, so you can leave all the pizza you want, and this time I'll eat it.
You want a small tour? This will be the living room when I'm done. Poor little living room. It's nothing now. Nothing until I've touched it. Until I've graced it with the darn presents. So she's walking around showing the house. And I think that this is real, this house, for some reason.
It does. It was. It looked real. It also looked pretty much the same as all her other houses. I was happy to see some updated appliances. That was big news. I wonder how she feels. I wonder if she, like, gets vertigo when she sees, like... like her countertops and not all white appliances. Oh God, I'm a little uneasy with all these strange shades of gray in here. I don't know what to do. I'm holding on for dear life.
A phone without a cord. Won't you lose it?
What's this USB cable? I don't understand it.
So she, in her testimonials, is wearing this. Like butterfly, what would you call it? Like maybe when a butterfly is shedding the cocoon and it's still got all that gunk on it, like a baby coming out with placenta all over it.
Something from a coral. I think it felt to me something very much like from a coral reef, right? Like something that you would learn about on a nature special. That's what she was wearing.
Yeah, she looked like a couch in Mar-a-Lago, basically. Big poofy and a little short blonde wig.
It was like part Halle Berry, part Robin, the pop singer.
It was like if they hired like Nene's wig stylist to do a Liza Minnelli movie. It was like kind of a Liza cut, but that blonde, that super blonde look.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, look at me. I'm giving you all sorts of visual sensations right now.
Yes, I'm loving Karen back on my television. I'm loving her chewing nothing. I'm loving it. I'm loving her wigs. I'm loving her crazy cocoon couch outfit.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So
the producer asks Monique, what do you think of Karen's house? And she's like, I liked it. It's cute for her and Ray.
What? That was no shade. That was no shade. Nah, but she does not have a fish tank in her kitchen.
Yeah. I was confused by the lack of the fish tank. I mean, how do you cook without having a giant fish tank right there? I don't know.
So if they go ever out to a woman who, if ever there was a woman who would have a bird with small poops, it's Karen. I'll just leave it there.
you have to make tropical birds to lose tropical birds. So that doesn't mean anything. I don't get it. So they go out to a gazebo out back, and Karen is talking about everything, and she's like, yes, well, we love this house and we feel more comfortable. Ray is happier. And then they show a picture of Karen and Ray dancing to show that they're happier, and she's wearing this like rhinestone blazer thing, which then becomes like a theme for the episode. Everyone is wearing rhinestone vertical lines at some point in this episode, it feels like. But I just love it. It's like, well, we're happy. Look, here, we danced at one point in the past 9 months. We were happy now. Happy.
Never been happier. It's like a little mac and cheese sliding out of Ray's mouth as he like tries to shuffle around. And then
on
we
Friday
see
night we cook.
The best friend of the dough is outside when they go outside to talk.
Yes. Yes. So then Karen starts telling us that their relationship is facing some challenges because, you know, I started the business and I'm not here that much anymore. I'm traveling, you know, to La Dame Con. That's the big convention where we celebrate La Dame. I have tens and tens of people who said that they would be possibly interested in coming. So, of course, that takes up a lot of time in my life.
You know, it was very hard organizing La Dame Skate. It was very difficult. We had a backward skate, couple skate, couple doms.
We did have a little bit of a PR snafu. Turns out one of our big, big La Dame fans, a guy named Jeffrey, and he went online and said he's a big Jeffrey Dahmer, and fortunately that kind of backfired in our face a little bit.
Planning a movie, Dom and Dahmer. Just one of my wigs versus another one.
I did get sued by the Tums Corporation because I did release a theme song that went dom da dom dom dom.
I love Karen's imaginary life where her perfume business is now like Dynasty. It's now it's now this huge business, and she's got mansions all over the country and so many La Dame engagements.
Well, it's taken me all across the world. The world, Cost World Plus, that is, you know? But when she says, well, yes, I have noticed that there's been a little bit of a disconnect with Ray. And then the camera zooms in on her cocktail when she says that. I'm like, oh, so shady. It's driving her to drink.
And Monique's like, yeah, Karen doesn't usually talk about her relationship, so this has got to be pretty serious. And then they showed Karen picking up her drink. Okay, this is the sound of her lips as she picks up her drink and then drinks it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wash that cauliflower florette down. So, you know, the thing is, you know, Ray and I, we don't see each other as much. And sometimes I just wish he would just snatch me up real sexy and say, too much time has gone by, baby. And then we'll go over and I'll help him bang pots on the stove a little bit.
But he doesn't take ownership of that. And that pisses me off.
And Monique's like, is this a kind of problem where you think you guys aren't going to make it? And Karen's like, I'm scared. I'm scared. That's where I'm at.
You know, marrying someone who's 17 years older has its challenges. I mean, he's ready to retire, and I'm ready to, you know, do something with my life. I want to buy a Prius. He wants to buy a penny farthing. We just are from different generations.
But I'm not going to lose my man. Yo, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Cauliflower on the floor.
Commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Janin better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthew sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
And then we get like this new thing that they're doing, which is that all of a sudden it becomes letterbox. The image becomes letterbox, and then it becomes like an episode of 24. It's like, here's a panel, then here's a panel, then here's a panel, but it's all in letterbox.
Yeah, they're like, now we're a cinema film.
Yeah.
But now we're not, because it's...
Yeah.
They're like, we're the highest class show ever now. Wait a second, Giselle's going to wrap her chairs from Target. Actually, they're not from Target, wherever she got these stools, and I want to know where she got them. I think it's set on the box, but I have to know because... Girl, I love some furniture being delivered, put together. Bravo!
Yeah, that was very impressive. What's less impressive is everything else that happened with that house. So when she bought that house last year, for real, when she bought that house last year, I seem to remember on the podcast saying that I actually really liked the house because I felt like it had some really cool kind of like, I don't know if it's mid-century features, but like old school features that I really liked. And I think didn't we talk about like the stuff that she wanted to strip away was stuff that we're like, no, that's the best part, right? So
now
she has like turned everything into just this horrific monstrosity. She put in like a fuchsia accent wall, ugh, painted everything white. It's like a horrific gifting suite or one of those pop-up experiences, a pop-up activation for influencers to come by. Like, all that was missing was, like, stupid neon words that said something like saucy or too sexy, something like that. You know, the bullshit that Kyle put up in her foyer. Yeah. It's awful.
Oh, that's very famous
artwork,
by the way, that costs thousands and thousands of dollars.
What, Kyle's Neon?
Yeah. It's some famous artist that makes that.
Please go on. Please tell me.
That's all I know. Someone told me that on Instagram. They're like, by the way, guys, Kyle's art is not going to go away anytime soon because it's a famous.
Well, even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes.
Even Kelsey Chatterbox makes mistakes, or whatever the artist's name is. Sorry, but guess what?
Yep.
Neon cursive signs have been out since, you know, the pioneer days. So get out of here with your...
But that is so Kyle Richards. To get this piece of neon art that may be worth thousands and putting it in the most visible place of the house where it doesn't match at all, in a house where it doesn't match... And it's the sort of art that doesn't even, like, match her personality. She got it purely because it's famous. That is so Kyle Richards.
That is so Kyle Richards. But that's neither Kyle nor Kim. So let's get back to Potomac. Giselle's house is not cute. And that really dark red pleather couch set that she's got with a red swirly rug. Oh, no.
It's awful. And then she's like, I want things blingy. I want things blingy. That's my decor style. Blingy. That's fine. You can have it blingy. But there's a way to do blingy without being tacky. I'm not totally sure how to do that, but there's a way to do that. And whatever she did,
don't do
like,
that. And also, like, measure things, you know? Like, if you're going to have a velvet tufted bench or whatever in your kitchen, okay, that's a cute idea. Measure where you're going to put it. Don't just, like, get some random thing and shove it in the window. No, Giselle is... Have you gotten rid of your gay because you're now with your new... With your old husband
she
again.
Must have.
Because you need him back.
It's awful. It's making Z Gallery look like room and board. It's
making Z Gallery look A Gallery. Am I right, girl?
Am I right? Hit it, boys. Okay. All right, fuck you. Z Gallery, room and board, or CB2.
Yeah. Red leather and pink walls. Yikes. That's my note. So she's like, children, can you help me with these boxes? These are our new bar stools. And the kids come in, and they are just all giving her looks like, fuck you, lady.
Yeah. We get instant migraines when we see your accent wall, mother. Fuck you.
Yeah, no one looks very happy. And she's like, let's call your father and tell him about your first date at school. And they look really mad that she's calling him. And so she calls him on speakerphone. And I don't know his height. I mean, I haven't really been introduced to Jamal on this show much. I've seen, like, pictures. I don't know if he's a little guy, a big guy.
He gives very short energy. And I'm not just saying that
he
because
does.
Of his homophobic
and he
remarks.
He gives very short energy on the phone. Like, if you're short, you should, you know, aim your phone right so that you fill the frame. And you know, like, make an effort. You know, if a guy's talking to you and his head's all the way at the bottom of the screen, it's like, that's like the least amount of effort you can do for me. It's like, make yourself look decent on FaceTime, you know?
If you're giving short energy over FaceTime, that's a problem that you have to look into.
Yeah,
okay,
like,
maybe that's why
he's
homophobic. Maybe he just has, like, he knows he's got issues, so he has to project it onto us gays. Because if you're giving FaceTime short energy, like, Beyonce gives, like, crazy tall energy, right? You see Beyonce, she looks like she's 6'1", maybe. But she's actually, I think in reality, like, 5'3", or 5'4", apparently. He's like, that's how you do it.
Yeah. If you care, you make yourself look good, right? Like, I'm chubby, so when I FaceTime, I don't want you to have to look at my chins. The camera's on the fucking ceiling, okay? I'm, like, looking up at the... I have it, like, attached to a ceiling fan. So you're both dizzied, and you think I'm smaller. You know, like, I make an effort to make you like... Like, just make an effort, Jamal. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, make an effort, okay? Maybe if he had a gay, someone could, you know, he'd be helped. So anyway, so he's FaceTiming with the girls. And, you know, Giselle's been divorced from him for 12 years, but they've, like, rebuilt a friendship. And then she's like, well, I spoke with my best friend's husband, Kevin Lyles. I'm like, I don't know why you need to name drop Kevin Lyles, but I did look it up. And Kevin Lyles married to Erica Lyles, which then took me back to the big scandal of Ray was all over Erica Lyles. So I'm hoping that maybe that comes back since they're, like, name-checking Kevin Lyles so early. But either way, Kevin gave some really shitty advice, if you ask me, which was, is anyone going to love your kids more than Jamal? And she's like, no. And is there anyone you want to travel the world with and make memories with? And I said, no. So we got back together. I'm like, I don't think this is... I don't think this is good relationship advice, because obviously the father is going to hopefully love those kids more than anyone else in the world. So that's a given. And second of all, she had a string of terrible relationships. She had Sherman, for crying out loud. So of course she's yearning to go back to something that's comfortable. So Kevin Lyles, what are you doing
really
to Giselle?
She also really liked that first lady role, you know? Yeah. I think she misses that too. Kind of being in that spotlight.
Yeah, probably.
Because remember was it last year when she's like, okay, I'm the first lady. Yeah, I'm going to fix everyone's problems. And then everyone came over and then she was like super mature and giving really good advice and not acting like herself at all.
Yeah.
And got respect. I think she misses that part of it too. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Men don't change. Okay?
No, yep.
They can try to. We can try. Okay? And I'm not saying that they can't change their behavior, but they usually don't. Okay? Sorry. Argue with me all you want. Sorry, men don't change. Have fun going down that road again, sucker.
Yeah, sorry to say that, but I don't know if I'm going to say, like, men don't change, but I will say that I have a feeling that cheaters generally don't change, you know, so especially ones who give short FaceTime energy. So, anyway... So the kids are like, really don't care to speak to their dad right now. And I should also mention right now, it should go without saying that, of course, Giselle has Mackenzie Child in her kitchen. And she put like, she spatially arranged like little apples on this like stupid checkerboard platter that she had. But she arranged them this really... The point is, I was just getting so triggered left and right in this scene. I don't even know where to stand.
Well, they don't want to talk to him, and he doesn't really seem to want to talk to them either. So the conversation is this, hi, okay, well, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah.
And that's it. It was just a tiny head, and then everybody looking at each other angrily.
Yeah. Oh, wait, one more thing. I think this will trigger both of us. Did you see that Giselle got an electric stove?
No, I didn't.
She voluntarily chose to get an electric stove.
Is that bad, an electric stove? I don't know. I've never had an electric stove.
Well, I mean, she got a really fancy one, so it looks nice. And, I mean, what's good about an electric stove is that the new ones, if there's sort of like one big flat surface, you can just like clean them so easily. But generally speaking, you always want the gas if you can get the gas.
I mean,
and I was like, that's
look,
so Giselle to get the electric stove.
It's a much easier way to get to suicide. I mean, it's much harder to do that with an electric one. It would hurt a lot more, okay? That's the only thing I can really think of with gas. But cleaning the gas one, I have to say, sometimes I think of those electric ones, and I'm like, wow, that might be easier, because I'm a damn slob, okay?
Yeah,
my gas stove is never clean.
It's a pain in the ass.
It's a crusty
monster.
But having
actual fire is so important.
Okay, so Giselle's like, why? What is the problem, girls? I thought you guys were feeling better. And they basically say, look, Dad, we feel like we're the third wheel or fifth wheel around you and Dad, because when you're with each other, you just treat us differently and we don't like it.
It's basically like it's you guys, then us three, and you guys are acting so fake. And then one of the daughters is like, yeah, he'll just call us to make sure you feel like he's doing his part. And then, like, after he's done speaking to us, 2 seconds later, he calls you to tell you that he called us, which is such an amazing read by those kids. Like, that they figured out the bullshit of their father is fantastic.
Yeah, he's just doing it to get points. And yeah. She's like, well, he's not doing it just to impress me, yeah, which of course he is. And she's like, trust your mother, rah. And she's like, yeah, but we want the best for you, and we know what he did in the past. And these kids are really smart, and Giselle's just, man, I don't know. I kind
Giselle,
of
I think, is lonely. Yeah, I think Giselle is lonely. And she's like, well, you know, after the twins were born, there was some tomfoolery, and y'all know what that means. And I was like, this is funny that she's kind of now dialing back, because in the past it was, and we even see the flashback, he cheated, he's a cheater, 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 cheater. And now she's saying tomfoolery, so she's almost making it a little quaint. And I'm like, no, he cheated. It's not tomfoolery. It was cheating, and he's going to do it again.
Yeah. So I kind of felt bad for her, but then I remembered it was Giselle, and I got over it really fast. So then we go over to La Vie!
Yeah. So we are at some restaurant or hotel or something, and Candice and Chris are there, and they're meeting with Cindy, an event planner, because guess what? It's the one-year anniversary coming up of Candice and Chris's marriage,
nobody
and...
Nobody cares! Nobody... Oh, I hate those people that have to make you fucking buy them gifts for every little thing they do in their life, you know? Isn't it bad enough we bought you a gift last fucking year? Now we all have to come buy you another gift, spend another night, and a cash bar? Gross. Candy ass is gross.
She also is acting as if she invented marriage. So she's talking to us, and she's like, Chris and I have been enjoying married life. And she holds up her hand to show her ring, and she's like, just me and my man doing what we do, being married and being happy and kissing. I'm like, why are you showing us your ring? You're not engaged anymore. No one literally cares about your ring. You didn't even buy it. Or he didn't even buy it.
Yeah.
Dorothy bought it.
So this is her kind of place, though, this venue, because they have a wall of cherry blossoms.
Yeah.
And she's just like, can you just put those on the roof? That would be great. Okay, put those on the ceiling.
Yeah.
That would be great.
So she says, okay, the theme is denim and diamonds, and I just want this to be low-key. I'm like, first of all, your theme has diamonds in it, so there's that. And she goes, I was thinking around 5,000, and Cindy is like, well, that's funny, because 22,000 is what we normally charge.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
And she's like, well, maybe you could do a cash bar so you're not incurring the fees. So people like this, like, you'd rather have the place with fake cherry blossoms hanging on the wall than just go to a bar and buy your friends a drink. You know, screw
exactly.
you. That says a lot about you.
Yeah,
you're not a good person.
Fuck you. It's so obnoxious. You would rather have the photo op for your quote unquote chill, low key party than to have something that's like fun where people can feel welcomed.
Yeah. And Chris is like, well, babe, this is just not going to happen. We don't have your mother this time. It's like, we don't need her. We do not need my mother.
Yeah. The moment I take one of Dorothy's coins is the moment I go down into the bowels of hell. Oh, hey, Satan, how's it going? I guess I'm already here. Mother, could you pay for this party, please? Thank you.
And I appreciate Candace's wig effort, but her wig in her diary room sessions, it looks like one of those Russian fur caps that people wear, but it's a braid. It's like a crazy big braid. Yeah, candy ass. You know, and I always think she's charming. You know, what a charming girl, you know, when you first see Candace or when you first see her on TV. Like, what a sweetheart. And then they show her tweets that you wrote. You don't even have a penny to your name, you wrote.
I am actively folding up a napkin into a little square, and I'm applying it to my eye because these accusations are making me cry right now.
So then there's baby stuff everywhere, and we're at Ashley's house.
Ew. Ashley is milking. She's looking like one of those like wives from Mad Max Thunder Road, whatever it's called. Fury Road.
Oh, is that what they do? Do they stick the moms on machines and just milk them?
Yeah, they're pretty much like, yeah, that's exactly right. So she's milking and she's holding, I mean, by the way, she's like, looks like a totally normal new mother. I don't mean to shame mothers who are milking. I just felt like equating her to Mad Max.
You didn't, but as a guy, like as a guy without kids, it's weird for us to see that weird machine strapped onto you. I've never seen that. I've seen like the pump. My sister used the pump, but I've never seen a double pumper machine thing. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I just realized as soon as I said it, there's probably like a wide swath of our audience that's like, yeah, that's like normal. Thanks for comparing us to Mad Max.
You guys, don't ever forget we're two dopey gay guys who don't understand things like this.
Okay? I'm only comparing Ashley to Mad Max.
Yeah. Sometimes Bravo is like school for us, okay? I've never seen one of those.
I didn't even know that babies even drank milk. How about that?
Yeah. What, haven't babies heard of Diet Coke?
Yeah. I thought they ate like cauliflower. So, yeah. So she's milking. She's got like, she's pumping and all like every orifice. And Michael's holding Dean, their new baby, who looks just like Michael, which you can take what you want from that.
Yeah, it's like a little baby Michael. He's like a little Benjamin Button, you know, where you're like born like as a little old person. Yes. He's really cute, though. I think all babies are cute. Most people don't
that.
Most people don't find all babies cute. I think all babies are cute.
I don't think all babies are cute. I actually think that only a small percentage of babies are cute. How about that?
Well, you know what? I love all babies, guys.
So, that being said,
look, this is how you need to look at it. All babies are little gooey sacks of stem cells that can make you look younger. Okay? Just bring a good old syringe, aim for the spinal cord, inject into your face, and you'll be young forever!
Forever. It's very Mad Maxian, see? So, Anyway, Ashley is going on about how she wants to give her kids the most natural... She thinks that you should give your children the most natural things possible, and she uses wipes that are 99% water. I'm like... Have you just maybe been just using water? is it possible you were just splashing his butt? Is that it?
Yeah, because might I suggest a paper towel with some, wait for it, water?
She's like, Dean hasn't had diaper rash. I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess.
So Michael's there, and he's like, we need a book of all of his looks. Look at him. We could use it in his acting class. All of those faces. Look at him giving a look. He's like, well, that's his Al Pacino right there. That's his De Niro right there. There's his Hume Cronin. It's like, is there one young look that he can give?
His Hume Cronin.
He can go only give old man actor looks.
There's his Penelope Ann Miller. See, look, he changed it up a little bit.
Miller.
Huge fan. Huge.
Oh, God.
I feel, did anyone else get a little icky feeling like this was his way of like promoting the fact that he's going to be pitching like a book of Dean's faces?
Oh, God.
I felt like this was an actual thing that he was pitching to us.
No. Well, apparently he's pitching quite a bit this season, which we'll get to later in the season. So they walk in. Ashley's storyline is basically, I'm scared of everything now because I have a baby. Oh my God, it's a squirrel. It's like you're married to Michael and you live in a penthouse that's on like the 40th floor.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't get to be scared. You've surrendered your right to be scared.
Seriously, she's like, you know, I can't watch that. I can't watch the news because there's a food shortage and there's air pollution. There's animals like squirrels and there's rabbits and birds and spiders the size of my hand. And everyone knows the story about the dingo in Australia. I'm like, wait till COVID. Have fun.
Yeah, you might want to get some wipes with some alcohol. Okay. So they walk the baby around, and she's scared of every sound, thinking a squirrel's going to attack her or something. And she's like, honey, put the hood down or whatever on the stroller. Put the hood down because sometimes the breeze comes and he can't breathe. And he's like, air is actually what you breathe. So...
So then we go over to America's favorite condo family, Robin. So... Hi, guys.
Hi, Mom.
Putting the Poe in Potomac. It's Robin and Juan, everybody. Robin. Wow. Another season of Robin going,
hey, you know, like, it would be really nice if we got a different house and maybe got married.
This is literally every season, Robin.
Literally. It's like an episode of Flip or Flop that never ends. So basically...
Also, she has Karen hair.
Yeah, she does. That makes me very sad. So the kids are like, oh my God, homework, we need, oh my God. And then Juan is like, we need more space. I'm like, okay, so the house, they're going to be getting another house. So so they're all talking, they send the kids upstairs. And, you know, they start talking about, like, are they outgrowing this house? Are they going to go to a new house? Like you said, all the usual stuff.
Yeah, same basic thing. And he's like, well, I guess I've made many mistakes, but I guess we could get married because I'm very fortunate to have a strong woman in my corner. Well, glad she made the tryouts. Glad she made it through those, you know, 10-year tryouts or whatever you guys have been going through, you fucker. I wouldn't even marry him. I mean, my God, at this point, you should be playing. Have some self-respect, Robin.
Yeah. Well, he's doing
you a big fucking favor.
Well, he says they're talking about that they want to get a forever house for them. And then he's like, yeah, and we have to keep growing as a couple. And she goes, no. We don't have to keep growing. We have to get married. So that's like, I think, the first time that she has really articulated that in such a bold way. This sort of like...
Did you miss the whole last season?
They danced around... Well, I mean, they danced around it, but now they're like... Now she's like, she wants a date. She says, marriage before house. Marriage before house.
Oh, God. Okay. Are we done with the Robin scene? I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's been a long Robin road already, and it's just her first scene.
Yeah, basically it's Juan saying that he is ready to be, you know, he's in a good place and this is something he wants to do. And she's like, I'm going to cry. It's like that time I was eating watermelon and I found out that Ashley's husband was filling up guys. And I went, oh!
Okay, so now it's time to go to the Classy Bakery. It's called Classy Bakery.
This is now time for the scene where Candace tries to cut down on costs for her party by scamming some free baked
totally,
items.
Totally, totally. And I love places that are that name themselves that. Classy Bakery. Classy. My book is going to be called Thin Ronnie. Do you just believe it, all right? And pay me to believe it.
So she's at the bakery and she walks in and she goes, I'm having an anniversary and just want to see what you have for options for my guests. And I'm the guy's probably just like, just take a seat. We already know we are giving you free shit. Don't make this more painful for us than it already is.
Yes. I'd like to see my cash options. I'd like to see my cash croissant bar, please.
Yeah, exactly. So this tiny little car pulls up.
The worst Fiat drives up ever. It's the Gucci Fiat. Come on, with
is that
Gucci
what it was?
Fiat. Yes. Gross.
Because I saw it was black, but it had like these weird lines on it, and I was like, "What delivery car has just arrived? Who is delivering for Panda Express at the moment?"
It is the Gucci Fiat. I used to drive a little Fiat. You remember those days, Ben?
Oh yes.
Giant man, tiny car. Giant man, tiny car. I was like the car. When I got in that car, it felt like I was a transformer because that was my. It was me. It's like me filling the whole car. It's like if you blew a bubble in a car, that was me. And then I would get out, and that's the transformer part where it's like, oh my God, that Fiat's moving towards the Starbucks.
Well, in this case, it's Giselle who gets out. Transformers, more than meets the eye.
I'm just saying this right now, and I'm sorry to anybody out there who has. Well, actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to say
Don't
it right
be sorry.
Nobody you who drives what? A Gucci Fiat is a good person. There.
If I'm not going to apologize for my longstanding belief about muscle cars, you don't have to apologize.
Thank you.
About Gucci Fiat. And for those who don't know, my standing belief on muscle cars is if you drive a muscle car, you're an asshole. And if you're not an asshole and you're driving a muscle car, then just know that we all think you're an asshole, even if you're a perfectly nice person. So just know that. Just know that.
And also, whether your Fiat is a Gucci Fiat or not a Gucci Fiat, it's time for you to be honest with yourself. Your glove box rattles. Okay? So sit with that.
Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Okay? It's time to stop telling people it's quiet in there. There's rattling.
I know you signed a lease and you feel like you can't get out of it. But your glove box rattles, okay?
Yes. So Giselle has come up as meeting up because they're going to taste some options for what is supposed to be a low-key event. How are you having a cake tasting for a low-key event? It is already not low-key, okay? So the reason why she's in that car, turns out, is that her car broke down. Nah. And so she had to take Jamal's car. So that's right. This Gucci Fiat belongs to the preacher.
A little terrible person. There you go. I rest my case.
Little terrible person. By the way, I feel like if you are a preacher or whatever, you should not have a Gucci car. Like, whatever extra you spent on the Gucciness of it all should have been put towards, like, poor people or people who are, like, in, you know, in distress.
I don't know where you've been, but now preachers like Joel Osteen has, like, a big private jet.
I don't approve of that either.
I know. People are like, oh, sure, here's 10% of my income. You're doing a great job, Joel. He's like, well, I hate gay people, too. Hey, is that a Gucci Fiat? Can I have a ride, brother?
The point is this. Before you start coming for gays and saying that we're the sinners, you're the one driving the Gucci Fiat, okay? Why don't you take a look in the mirror? Who's the sinner now?
Yeah. And Giselle is wearing a baseball cap, but with a tiara on it.
I didn't even notice that. I did notice that. I didn't realize that was a tiara. I just thought it was more of the vertical rhinestones that I started to see all over the episode.
I think it's a full-on tiara baseball cap.
Well, that's okay, because she's with a toddler. Get it!
Oh, get it! So she comes in, and let's see. They start talking about... Oh, they talk about the car, and then... Candace is like, so I see you're with the preacher. Are you guys doing it? She's like, we're fine in that department. Thank you.
Yeah. And then we cut to different people. Like, I think like weighing in on Giselle and Jamal being together, and Robin's like, I never thought I'd see the day when Giselle would entertain the thought of getting back with Jamal.
And Monique's like, well, she's just trying to get more tithes and offerings from the church.
Which I think is hilarious.
And Karen's she's like, I have no comment. Yeah, more tithes.
Yeah.
No comment. All I'm going to do is just an extra hard get that kernel out of my teeth face.
Yes. I'll let my Liza wig speak for me. New York.
Ring the bells. So
little cakes are delivered, and Giselle's like, you can have that carrot cake. I don't want to crunch down on carrots with cake.
Giselle, you have a supreme, like, lack of understanding of how carrot cake works. Okay, it's not like there's a carrot in the middle, Bugs Bunny style, with cake that's been baked around it.
Yeah,
it's one of the most delicious things that mankind has ever created.
You're wearing a tiara on a baseball cap, okay? You can't pretend it's weird that they put a carrot in a cake.
You arrived in a Gucci Fiat. A Gucci Fiat. Think about Gucci. That Gucci decided they want to put their name on a Fiat.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, one thing, if it was a Gucci BMW or a Gucci Alfa Romeo, because Romeo, because at least that's Italian also. But a Gucci Fiat, that's like coming out with like the Armani Kia.
Candy Ass is talking about inviting the girls, everybody but Ashley. And Giselle's like, well, Ashley just had a baby, and you're going to leave her out? And she's like, well, I just want to see people who bring me peace and joy in my heart.
Yeah. And then on top of that, she goes, plus, Ashley has a baby at home, and she's breastfeeding, and so she can't come anyway. Her boobs are lactating. She doesn't have time to go out to our party, which I'm sure every mom, new mom, was just like, fuck her, because it's not like new moms are all just like, those women in Mad Max. See, look what I did. I turned it around. I made it very empowering. You can be a new mom and go out. It's okay.
Wow, you really affected yourself. That.
I did.
You really affected yourself with that first comment. You're going to spend your whole life trying to come back from that first.
Well, you know what it is? Because like once I like summon Mad Max Fury Road, I'm like now like I'm mentally on that truck with Charlize Theron just like driving through the desert and I'm just in a visceral state of mind at the moment.
You just want to stand on a balcony and like splash water down poor people's throats.
Oh, if only Preacher Jamal would do something as kind as that.
So that's small talk. Candace is still looking for a home. How's your home? And Giselle's like, well, you've been very unkind in concerns to my home. And Candace is like, well, you have been very nasty about my search for a home. Clack, 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 clacking it all up.
Yeah, and we see a flashback to Giselle and Robin sort of like laughing on one of the Bravo after shows about Candace when she was looking at that $2 million home. And they were just like laughing like you can't afford this, you know? And so when it comes back, Giselle goes, well, it made sense to laugh, which I thought was a funny defense. It just made sense.
Well, it was very mean girl of you. And I responded to what you said. And she's like, yeah, well, she called my house a teardown and a cabin.
Well, we see the tweet. So this is Giselle and Robin just like laughed despite themselves. And what's Candace's tweet was, Giselle, as you attempt to rub your coins together to make a teardown look like a home, let's not end these lies. Dorothy ain't say shit to you. Stay in your struggle and worry about where you're gonna live when your $900,000 cabin caves in. Which is kind of funny, but also like, whoa, like chill a little bit, huh? Yeah.
Little angry over there. Calm it down. And yeah, but that's how Candace is on Twitter. And it is kind of hilarious because she just goes off on people. It's yeah. Like, really liked your hair. How dare you, Roach?
Yeah. And she goes, you know, if Giselle hadn't laughed at my house search, I wouldn't have done anything. I'm like, are you really getting this defensive about a house search? I mean, like, it's like a concept. It's not even a thing that you have. Like, you know, like that's like getting upset because someone laughed because you like yelped something and being like, oh yeah, well, since you made fun of me yelping something, I'm going to tell everyone that you're a whore. You know, it's like, whoa.
And Giselle's like, well, now, if you want to get mad that I laughed at your $2 million grandiose home, I got it from your mother. And, they just start arguing with each other, and it's actually really funny. But they stop each. They stop from going into like a full on fight. And then the waiter comes over, and Giselle goes, "Kind sir, I'm ready with my recommendations."
Here are my recommendations for the party that I will not be part. That's not for me. We'll take the cookie and those two cakes and that. And then Candace goes, and I want the carrot cake, with this like evil look on her face. I'm like, ooh, I do kind of like a passive aggressive carrot cake moment.
Yeah. Is there any other kind, really? Because carrot cake is a very controversial cake to order for other people, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's saying fuck you to somebody, because, you know, there's somebody in the group who doesn't like it. And that person is like, well, Ronnie knows I don't like carrot cake, and he fucking ordered a carrot cake. So thanks, Ronnie. Thanks for the carrot cake.
What are the odds that Candace got carrot cake with buttercream frosting instead of cream cheese?
Girl.
Very high. You know that she gets buttercream carrot cake. You're like, what the fuck?
Oh, so then we go back to Ashley's apartment. The little baby's on the bed, and knock, knock, knock. It's Monique with her baby. Now they both have babies. They're like, oh my god, you have a baby. It's like, oh my god, you have a baby. You have a baby. I have a baby too. Oh my god, does your baby poop? My baby poops too. This is crazy.
That's pretty much what it was. And I guess, did Monique say that she started potty training Chase at 4.5 months? I'm like, wow. So Ashley starts talking about how she's developed a phobia of going outside. And then they just start talking about Candace and how Candace has been making up lies. And basically when that whole Roach thing that you were mentioning before, that Candace tweeted that while Ashley was in labor. And just in case anyone forgot what that tweet was, I wrote it down. It is,
oh good.
Where's your income, Roach? Oh, you do? You do it this time. I did the last
tweet. No, you do it. You do it. I just love that we both did it. We're like, we can't miss this tweet.
I mean, I'm literally like, and then that lampshade. Well, I have to mention that on the podcast.
It's a 5-hour recap for this episode.
It is. No, you do this too.
We're like, and those couches. Oh my god.
We literally are like that.
Okay. So Candace Dillard Bassett. Okay, now her name is hilarious to me, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but in El Paso, where I'm from, there is a Dillard's, which is a Texas department store. And there's also Bassett Center, which is another mall. And they're both on the east side of town. And I just love that Candace has two mall last names. That's always cracked me up. Okay,
she's
anyway.
East side of town.
She's like, where's your income, Roach? 3 exclamation points, all caps. You laid on your back to get the $2 you do get. I've been had jobs while you turn tricks to pay your mama's rent. Don't come for me. You won't win.
Jeez. I love that. Like, oh, you are shaming her for, like, even if Ashley was turning tricks, she's turning tricks to pay for her mama's rent. Isn't that actually, like, so noble? Isn't that, like, such a huge sacrifice?
That's like
Isn't that,
that's like the most golden hooker in the world right there.
It's just, like, I'm sorry. This is, like, a beautiful story of a woman who has, because of the cruel world that she was born into, has nothing. She must turn to prostitution to make sure the mother who gave her everything could have a roof over her head. Candace, how dare you?
I know. She's shaming somebody for helping out her mother, and she lives off of her mother. I mean, it's so gross. Yeah. It's like, it's gross for you to help your mother, but not to live off of your mother.
I know, exactly. And so Ashley's like, I mean, Candace tweeted these things while my vagina was being ripped open. I was like, okay, we don't need to be that visceral right now. I'm already in a Mad Max place.
Yeah.
And then she goes, well, now that my baby's here, I don't want no hamster faced hoe trying to mess with my baby. And then they put up a picture of a hamster and Candace side by side, which was really shady and hilarious.
I got a little bit confused in my notes. Sorry, I was a little quiet.
That's okay.
I was trying to figure out what my note said. It says, drinking so much, baby or Corona, suck a sausage. But I guess those were all the clips they showed of Candace telling off Ashley.
Yeah.
But isn't that kind of its own poetry? Well, drinking so much, baby or Corona, suck a sausage.
Well, that's because Ashley is saying these things about how Candace was making up things about her last year. Although, to be honest, I was very much on the side of like, well, you are saying that you're being super holistic and then you're drinking these beers. And Candace was like, WTF, and then you turned it into a whole thing of like blah blah blah.
No,
blah, blah.
Candace did. Last season, Candace was pretending to be friends with Ashley, and then she was telling everybody all this stuff about Ashley. Candace is the worst right now.
Candace is the worst, but I actually think that like I felt like I actually understood Candace's point in that very narrow situation where Ashley's opened up the season saying that she's wearing special socks, she's doing this and that, she's trying to help her fertility, she's trying to be as clean as possible, blah 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 blah, but then every scene she was like drinking a Corona, and so Candace is like, you keep saying that you're like doing all this stuff but then you're drinking, like are you really trying to have a baby? So I think that was like a, for a reality star, I think that was like a fair question to ask other cast members, and then somehow it got turned into Candace accusing Ashley of being an alcoholic, and it blew out of proportion. But of course, Candace was an idiot during all of it, so it was hard to take her side.
Yeah, always. So some of the girls called. Giselle tried to come to the hospital, but she couldn't get there. But they all called, except for Candace, of course. And Monique tells her that Candace is having this party, and she's like, "Are you invited?" Which, of course, she's not.
Yeah.
And
Monique starts to explain how, you know, she and Candace have been trying to patch things up because this is all being filmed about a month after the reunion. And at the reunion, Candace and Monique sort of, they hugged and they're like, we want to go back. So they're trying to, they're rebuilding their friendship. And we saw a flashback of 2 days ago, the two of them having lunch and Candace saying, you know, I respect you enough to want to make sure that whatever the breakdown was, it doesn't repeat itself. I value our friendship, and I want us to grow up from there. At which point, the napkin square comes out, and she's like dabbing the corner of her eye, of course.
Yeah. So basically, Ashley's like, fuck that girl. And Chris, you know, my husband still hates her too, so like, fuck her. And then the baby poops, and Monique's like, so that's what Michael thinks of Chris? And they laugh and laugh. And then we go back to Candy and Chris, and they're approaching their party. She's wearing her ripped up jeans and her little cocktail wedding party dress.
It's like a figure skater top. It's like a, again, rhinestone figure skater top. And then it looks like she's wearing denim knee-high boots with it. It's like, it's actually a hideous combination and not interesting or like, wow, from two separate media we create a new coherent look. And I was like, no, this is a disaster right here.
And then she's like, look at my cupcake. So after all of that, they just sent you cupcakes.
Yeah,
that's how that ended. Cupcakes,
exactly. So people start showing up, and we see that someone's wearing slippers with a fur heel on them. I don't even know why that was, but we just have like a, we just like zoom in on this awful slipper. And then Dorothy shows there. Up.
Hello, Chris. How are you, Chris?
We knew you guys would make it. Is that her? We knew. I haven't really tried to do her voice.
I can't do it, but hey, I'm going to do something. Damn it.
It's very Muppety.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are making a year? No, this is all wrong. No, she's not.
We'll have to workshop that.
Yeah.
3 years we'll later. So,
surprise,
hey, it may take us years, but we will eventually get our work done, okay? Watch what happens!
So Dorothy is looking for drinks, and then she finds out it's a cash bar, and she just has this look of like, my ungrateful, cheap-ass daughter. She only had gotten her shit together. We could have been drinking for free right now.
Yeah, did you really think you'd come to one of your daughter's parties that you didn't in some way pay for? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. So Karen comes in and says, hello, it's me, Karen. Maybe I'm having problems with my husband, but that doesn't mean that I can't come to your party. And then we see our new cast member, Wendy. And Wendy, I already know I'm going to love because she has a crazy laugh.
And just the way that she elicited such a stink face from Karen, because Wendy is there. She comes in and Karen's like, like Karen was riding this high because when she walked in, Candace was like, you smell good. Oh, yes, it's La Dame. It's La Dame. Yes, I guess I'm just sort of like the grand dame of this party. Ooh, Wendy's here.
And Wendy tries to be nice. She's like, wow, I love that fragrance, Karen. I need a bottle or two.
And <they're... laughs> I did not notice her laugh, but I'm totally going to listen for it next time. So there's also a woman named Vivian there who's a friend of both Karen and Candace. So Karen goes up to Wendy and goes, I don't know if you remember, but I met you at Vivian's fashion show. And then privately she says, we've been to events together and we sat on a board together. And needless to say, I'm not impressed.
And then it cuts to Wendy going, okay, it's another thing I have to workshop, okay, but just notice it for next week.
We actually sat on an actual board together. I put down a wooden plank and I said, look at it, look at this, it's my new couch. And we sat together and she said, this isn't a couch, it's a wooden plank. And I said, I'm not impressed by you.
Not impressed. I'm not taking any more questions from any Wendy Yosefos.
So then Wendy, the hors d'oeuvre guy, comes over and she's like, you're coming back, right?
Yeah, I love that. Love that.
That is so us. So then,
and then there's okay. Like a step and repeat, which again is makes me laugh that this is supposed to be a low-key event and there's a step and repeat. And unless I heard it incorrectly, I could have sworn Chris walked up to two ladies and said, so how's the CDC been treating you ladies? Did he say that?
No, I think I'm trying to find where this is in my notes. I think he said their names. I think they're famous people.
Oh, because I thought it was like Bravo being like, oh, look at these innocent times when the CDC was so easy that people could just go onto the step and repeat, but now they're broken bits.
The CDC shows up. They're like, where's the carrot cake? Please tell me there's carrot cake. I don't know where I wrote it down, but I think he was saying their names. So then we see boys dancing and a guy hits the mom's drink and she's like, how dare you? And then Wendy goes over to talk to Monique.
Oh, gosh.
And Monique's like, so how many kids do you have? And she goes, 3. They're 6, 4, and 7 weeks. And Monique's like, oh, my God. Babies. I have babies, too. Oh, my God. I do, too. Me, too. What are your babies like? Oh, my God. They're big. Me, too. They have that whole moment with each other. I really want to be a mother just to have that moment. Like, I need that I moment with somebody. Like, what do I have to have that moment about? Nothing.
I have board games and Animal Crossing to have that moment.
Yes, we have housewives, you know?
We have housewives. But this is funny because, yeah, because basically Wendy has kids at 6 years old, 4 years old, and 7 weeks. And Monique's like, oh, my God, 6 years, 6, 4, 9 months for me. Like, ah! And she's like, where are you originally from? And Wendy's like, I'm from Nigeria originally. And Monique's like, I'm 35% Nigerian. Ah! And then it's like, what'd you have for dinner last night? Chinese. Ah! I thought about having Chinese, but I got pizza instead. Ah!
And they hate each other in 2 seconds.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
Start the countdown. So Giselle comes in sparkling. She's all diamonds. And Giselle's like, hello, I just did diamonds. Where's your husband?
Yeah. And Candace introduces her to Wendy. And if I'm not mistaken, Giselle just goes, nice to meet you.
Yeah, and then walks off. She goes, nice to meet you, indeed.
Well, I don't have children who are 6 years old, 4 years old, or 7 weeks old, so clearly we can't get along.
So Karen and Giselle go outside with Candace and just totally diss Wendy, who's new on the cast. Hello. But of course, you know, this show, you're going to... Good luck getting past Karen, okay?
Wendy, who's also so much more accomplished than any of these women, right? Yeah. Like, isn't Wendy, like, a PhD? Yeah. She's a professor. She does, like, everything.
Yeah. So they go outside to gossip, and Candy's like, well, you know, I just wanted to say that you did have a moment at our cupcake date, and I just want to make sure you're in a good place with me right now.
Well, it's hard to say. It looks a little cheap. I'm not sure about those cherry blossoms on the wall. I kind of feel like this is outside of your budget, so I'm not sure I would call this a good place. Oh, you meant emotionally. Yes, yes, we're good. We're good.
It's like, well, you are here in diamonds and no denim, which I guess is great, but you are clearly perturbed.
Yeah, I love, of course, Candace is going to call out her own guest for not going through with all the stupid-ass theme she pasted onto the stupid-ass party. Just say thank you for coming.
Yeah, say thank you for buying your own glass of wine. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, she's like, yeah, you blew up the whole cupcake place. And Giselle's like,
Well, when I brought it up to you, you didn't feel remorseful or want to apologize, and you don't own anything that you do. So you need to apologize to me, and you need to apologize to Ashley.
And she's like, why would I? And Candace is like, when you go onto the Twitter, you are a Tasmanian devil.
She's like, you know, like, she basically is like, this is normal behavior. When someone says that you did something offensive, it's normal to apologize. That's like a normal thing to do, which is funny that Giselle's saying that, you know?
So let's see. So there, Candace is like, well, this is Wendy. Here's Wendy, everybody. She's not going to be left off camera, which is good for Wendy. Wendy's like, hello. I'm also mic'd, you bitches. So what would you like to talk about? And Candace is like, well, Wendy said that she knows Jamal. She's worked with Jamal, right, Wendy? And Wendy's like, oh, yeah, we've done a lot of charities together. We've marched together.
Yeah. We bought Gucci Fiat together. Well, I didn't really buy it. I was just mentioning it as a joke, and he actually went and did it. But, you know, to each his own.
Yeah.
So Monique says, you know, the only thing that struck me as odd is I've seen how much you've grown and becoming your own and handling your own business. So, like, why would you go back to Jamal, you know?
And she's like, well, the best thing that could have happened to me and him was me divorcing him because it propelled me into doing me, which is great, but I'm still not now buying it. And now it makes it sound like you were kind of the problem in the marriage because you were too clingy.
And also, like, you can't talk about you doing you and then you show up in your ex-husband's Gucci Fiat and expect us to be impressed, okay? So then Robin shows up, and not only does she walk into the party, but the first person she sees and hugs is
Thatha! Thatha. Thatha's just going around on her hoverboard. She's like, hello. Is that a pun?
Is that a pun? I don't even remember the origins of that joke. Is that a pun joke?
Because she tried to say something and she said, it's a pun. And Andy was like, that's not a pun, Giselle. So later something happened in the reunion and she goes, is that a pun? Oh, God. Thatha. And she gets no respect. She doesn't even have a mic. You don't even know what she's saying because it's Robin going, well, hi, Giselle. She's like, all right, good to see you.
Yeah, Robin's like, well, I didn't know that that Sasha and Candace talked like that. I mean, was Charisse at Candace's wedding? I don't think so.
So then the girls come back in and Karen comes up to Monique. Wait, who am I saying?
Yeah, Karen, like, Monique's at the bar,
yeah,
and Karen walks up, and I think it was Wendy was there, too, and was, like, offering to get Karen a drink or something, and I think that, like, if I got it correctly, like, it's a cash bar, and she's like, ha, 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 that's hilarious. Anyway, what do we have here?
She goes, like, cash bar, to each his own.
Yeah, the second time she realizes, she's like, oh.
So then Giselle and Robin are talking outside, and Giselle's like, everyone keeps asking me where Jamal is. Well, where's Ray? Where's Big Boy?
And today, Monique tweeted out something that was like, you know what? If she keeps calling my husband, who's a grown ass man, Big Boy, I'm gonna call Jamal like whore man or something like that. She got really mad that Giselle called him Big Boy.
Why? He's huge.
I think it's the boy part. The boy part is like infantilizing him or something.
Okay.
I know.
So
maybe it was T'Challa who tweeted that out. You know, those birds are very smart.
So let's see. So a guy, Monique's at the bar now, and a guy's like, hey, Monique, did you bring your boxing gloves? And she's like, no, I come in peace, and just kind of walks away from him, like, whatever.
No, that was her cousin, Hank. And I thought it was like that also, but basically Hank was saying, do we need to take a bitch down because Monique does not like Charisse because she feels like Charisse has been facilitating nasty rumors about her and her family. So that was Hank being like, do we need to, like, start a scene with Charisse right now?
Oh, and she's like, well, you know, Charisse has been facilitating nasty rumors about me and my family. I love that she's facilitating the rumors. She, like, hears the rumors, and she's, like, caring for them, brushing their hair. She's like, can I get you a glass of water, rumors?
Suddenly there's like a crash of broken glasses and plates in the corner. It's just Charisse on the floor with her hoverboard. I fell off.
The rumors are like, God, I want to spread, but I just don't have the self-confidence. So Charisse facilitates them. And so she's been spreading nasty rumors, and the producer's like, what rumors? And she's like, I'm not going to talk about Charisse. I'm done talking about that. And then it just shows her blinking very slowly at the camera. Like, I'm not kidding. And I will just keep blinking. Anything else? Blink.
They're like, well, we don't have Katie this year because that kind of backfired. So we brought Charisse back. So you do have to talk about her.
Yeah.
Please talk about her.
She's like, nope. So then it's time for speeches. Oh, God. Mm. So Candace gets up on the mic and she's like,
I want to briefly thank every soul for being here. It is so important having people around you that can impart some kind of marital wisdom. Now, I have two people. My mommy, who's divorced twice, and Karen, who's about to be divorced. So, anybody want to come up here and impart that advice?
And so, yeah, so she chooses these two women to be, like, to be the speakers, and Charisse just goes, how'd that happen?
Yeah. That a pun? Because she says that Karen is just as important as her mother these days. They're yeah. So close. And Giselle goes, well, I have words, too. I made it 8 years, damn it. And Robin's like, yeah, I have words. I was married, kind of. I mean, come on.
I'm in a weird state of a relationship that's kind of like marriage, but not. I have words. I'm like, you know what? It's oddly enough, I think Karen and Dorothy may actually be the best people to talk right now.
Yeah. So then Karen, of course, this is Karen's loving speech to the new couple. She's like, well, no marriage is perfect. You raise your kids and then they leave you and you rebirth into a businesswoman like me, LaDom. I'm a different person now. Thank God Ray and I are dusting off that institution called marriage and it smells amazing. I'm going to be in Target one day. Thank you.
Her speech makes no sense. No sense. Dusting off that institution called marriage, is it that, like, they just discovered it? Well, it turns out all this time we thought we were married. Turns out we were just sharing a Subway rewards card. Who knew? So we dusted off this old concept and we're going to exchange some vows.
And you know the next day she's like, oh, I was working last night doing an event for LaDom.
Yeah, seriously. So then, and then Juan is like, that was a lot of Ray talk, right? And Giselle goes, he's not even here, So now it's Dorothy's time, and she's drunk, and she's like, Candace and Chris, I'm so proud of both of you. Chris, you're such a decent human being who puts up with my spoiled brat daughter who makes you hold her purse and yells at you, and apparently you have a brown dick, so congratulations. I'm so happy that you're able to make love with this awful little demon that I spawned.
And just, I was like, get the microphone, get the microphone. She's like, I'm not making it about me, but I was married 35 years. And now that's a span of two husbands.
But that's okay. I like that last voice. That was really exciting. I like, it was very Julia Child. Julia Child's really Candace's mom.
What we do now is we put the bomb au chocolat in the oven at 350 degrees.
I'm auditioning voices for Dorothy's mom. Anybody, yeah. send it in. Send something in.
It's like nasal but round at the same time.
Candace!
It's like her voice is coming from behind her. If that makes any sense. It's like she has like some hole in the back of her head and someone's standing back there putting a voice and it's like echoing through her, if that makes any sense.
It's like someone turned the speaker around and hit against the wall, you know? So she's giving this stupid speech and Monique goes, okay, somebody fold up a tissue, please. And then Candace immediately starts blotting her eye. Starts doing the Candace blot.
Square napkin. Her poor retinas. And she's like, I'm so happy to have closed the book on 1 year of marriage. Wow. Congratulations.
And Monique goes, "We are celebrating love tonight." And then all of a sudden it goes black and white in slow motion. Dun, dun, dun. Bum, 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 bum. And then it goes to the trailer.
Then it's like, this season, bah, 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 bah. It gets all fun again. It looks like it's going to be a super fun season. I'm just so grateful to have this show back. Thank you for being great, Potomac.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Potomac. So wonderful having you back. Love this show. We are back tomorrow with Below Deck Med. And our bonus this week, by the way, we are going to be revisiting Taste the Nation with Padmalakshmi. We're going to do the Chinatown episode with my homegirl, Ali Wong. So keep your ears out for when that episode drops on Patreon.
How do buttholes taste, Ali? Literal quote from the episode. And
what is chop suey?
Yeah. And what is chop suey? last week's was Indian Matchmaker from Netflix. So go check out the bonuses. We also do a couple videos every week. We'll probably do Beverly Hills in New York this week is videos. Those are on Crappens On Demand. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye.